Our text is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We're speaking today specifically about the fourth commandment in our Sabbath series. So hear now the inspired words of the living God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We're encouraged today in the reading of God's word by Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer today is that God would bless not only the reading, but the hearing and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, we have been surveying the subject of the Sabbath day, and we've been moving through the scriptures. We started out with a general sense of blessing that the day brings, so that we launch ourselves into this sequential study through the scriptures. We then saw the original intent of the day was to govern our time in this world. We started with the creation account, and we moved through the patriarchs into Egypt. That's where we ended last time. Today, I wanted us to pick up with the actual giving of the Ten Commandments. And I think then we have put down a very good foundation then in seeing how the Sabbath came to be, and considering how it would have been viewed up until the giving of the law. But we've spent a certain amount of time so far, and we're just now getting to the fourth commandment in history. It's very important to consider that 2,500 years come between the first Sabbath day and the giving of the fourth commandment. And I think that is a very important thing to remember that will help us to understand how we ought to view the Sabbath and our day. So, to give a little bit of background to the passage in Exodus chapter 20, the people in Egypt, the people of Israel, they lived in Egypt for 400 years. We read this in Exodus chapter 1. I want to read a little bit of that text, picking up with verse 8 of Exodus chapter 1. And see how they came to be oppressed, because coming out of Egypt is when they're given the Ten Commandments. So picking up in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 1, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities of Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread at the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." So a bit of the history there of where they're coming out of, what had happened since where we left off last time. Remember, we did read the passage in Exodus 16, which sort of prefaced here with Exodus chapter 20. But this is what they're coming out of. We see then that Moses was sent to lead the people out of Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt, he did not want the people of God to leave. So then God sent plagues. The sea was parted. The people eventually come to Mount Sinai, where they receive instructions in the form of the Ten Commandments. And that's the context of the fourth commandment. It's coming after a pretty tumultuous time coming out of Egypt. It's coming at a time when the people of God are receiving commandments that we would make the point that they would have already known these things were offensive to God, even though they may have lost a knowledge of that during the time of slavery. So then, with that very brief introduction, then we know that the Sabbath already existed. See, we're trying to cover some of this time period to show you that all through that time period, the Sabbath already existed. It's only just now being put into the form of the Ten Commandments. So then today, let's spend our time on the fourth commandment itself. And I thought we would do two different things today. I wanted to see how the fourth commandment fits into the ten as a whole. What do they all have in common? What's something that if you're going to rip away the fourth commandment, well, why not rip away the sixth or the eighth or the tenth? You see, they all stand together with certain principles. So I thought what we would do today is see the 10 things that all the commandments have in common. And then I also think that there are 10 principles that are taught within this fourth commandment. So let's just kind of briefly list those today. And then in the coming weeks, we'll kind of build on those and show why these principles are so important to remember. Now, we did list an example before of a pretty common view that the fourth commandment's the only one of the 10 that we don't have to keep anymore. It's the one that was not moral and it's passed away. So I think that these 10 things that they have in common really shows why that's kind of an invented view. There's really no evidence that that is true. So let's go through this list very, very briefly, as we also want to look at the 10 principles that are taught in the 10th commandment. The first thing to notice about the whole of the 10 commandments, all 10, 1 through 10, they were all given by the same God. And that's an important thing to note. It might be something that folks overlook, but all of the 10 commandments were given by God. He had a unified purpose in giving all of the commandments. There's never any statement that he only intended some of them for one thing and some of them for another. He gives them all at once. And we ought to see then that all of the commandments reflect the character of the God that gave the commandments. And our God has not changed. There was never any intent that these 10 very general and basic moral codes would ever change, because God has not changed and they reflect the character of God. As we'll see later, there's a different way that we might view the commandments now that Christ has come. There's a greater revelation of the commandments, but not in the sense that some folks want some of the commandments to pass away. But that's a change that the scriptures do not give us a warrant for doing, drawing some of the commandments away and pushing them to the side. Now, we're going to later see also that there were some extra holy days that were given by God that were meant to pass away. Some of these extra Sabbaths that were given. But the 1 in 7 principle, we do not have evidence that was meant to pass away. Also, the ceremonial laws that were attached to the fourth commandment might pass away. But that's not evidence that the fourth commandment itself passes away. All the commandments were given by the same God. I also think a lot of folks overlook that. That's a very simple point. But another simple point is the second one for today, and that's that they were all given in the same way. All the Ten Commandments were given in the same way. They were purposely given at the same time in history as a complete whole for all of man for all time. They were each written with the finger of God upon tablets of stone. They were written in such a way that it was known that there was no understanding that some were permanent and some would pass away. They were all given on that same day in the same way. There was no asterisk or tiny print at the bottom of the stone tablets that some of the commandments weren't as important as other commandments, or that some would pass away and that others would remain. That's just not something that's told in a passage at all. It's not something that we see evidence of at all. They were all given in the same way at the same time. A third thing that all the Ten Commandments have in common is, again, knitting the fourth commandment with the others so that it can't be torn away, is that they were all known beforehand. As we've seen in one of our readings earlier today, The Sabbath was certainly known beforehand, as the others were as well. It was already wrong for Cain to kill Abel. It was already known that there was only one God. There was already a certain way to worship God. God's name was already to be revealed. It was to be revealed in a certain way and respected in a certain way. We also see, especially in the passage we read with Dinah earlier, that it was already wrong for a woman to be violated. These were commandments that were already known beforehand. 10 principles, in fact, that we see in Romans 2 are written upon the human heart. So if we were going to pull the fourth commandment out from those 10, why not pull the others out at the same time? Because they should have all been known beforehand. Now, fourth thing they have in common, I think is also overlooked, is in Exodus chapter 19. If you look at verse 16 of that passage, all of these commandments, all 10, have the same introduction. Not only were they given by the same God in the same way, at the same time, not only were they all known beforehand, but they had the same introduction in Exodus chapter 19. Then it came to pass on the third day, beginning of verse 16, in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.' So the Lord said to him, 'Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.'" So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. So this is the context of the giving of those 10 commandments. The fourth commandment shares in this introduction. The fourth commandment shares in all of these events that came up to the giving of the 10 commandments. And God spake all of these words in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. God spake all of these words. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." That applies to the fourth commandment. So again, if we're going to pull the fourth commandment out, it has the same introduction as the other 10 commandments. Fifthly, the fourth commandment shares with the other 9 commandments in that they all have the same honor and respect. They were commandments. Obedience to them was not optional. They were not divine suggestions or made applicable to certain men, but not to others. They were all to be held high and to be honored and to be respected. And the Word of God is very clear all throughout it, especially throughout the Psalms, as we speak of loving the Lord's law, as we speak of treasuring the Lord's law, as we speak of it being honey or being things that are sweet, things that we love. The fourth commandment is included in that honor and respect. And so those who would like to pull the fourth commandment out of the 10 must deal with the fact that they all deserve the same honor and respect. We do notice as well that there were very strict sanctions for disobedience. And we can have discussions in our day whether or not the same punishments apply. For example, the death penalty for certain violations of the commandments. And those are good discussions. But they're all good and legitimate discussions to have. But whether or not the commandments are still commandments is not a discussion to have. The commandments still stand. And they still deserve the honor and respect that they were originally given. They deserve our honor and our respect. And to speak as though one of the commandments is less than the others, this is important in the keeping of the fourth commandment. It's not a lesser commandment. It's not one of the commandments that's at the bottom of the list and we only have to keep certain ones. We don't treat the commandments that way. We don't treat any of them that way. Why would we treat the four? So I think that's a very important point to make, is that all of the words throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and the New that show love and respect and honor toward the Ten Commandments includes the fourth commandment. Sixthly, all of the Ten Commandments give the same moral code. There's a morality to the fourth commandment that's shared by all ten. By being placed alongside the other nine commandments, the Sabbath is identified with the others in its moral content. To break any of the commandments is the very definition of sin. Four commandments included in that. All are moral commands. To trespass against any of them is, by definition, immoral. And that's very interesting, because that's at the heart of a lot of the debate to get rid of the fourth commandment. Folks want to say it's a ceremonial law. It's not moral like the others are. Something that continues on throughout history. The burden of proof then is on those who wish to make the Sabbath command invalid or non-moral. There's no evidence to that effect at all in God's Word that the fourth commandment is any less moral than the other nine. The Ten Commandments give us a very good summary of what morals are. And we say that in the shorter catechism and in the larger. What is the moral law? Moral law, how is it summarily comprehended? It's summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments. Not in nine, not in eight or five. It's in the entirety of the Ten Commandments. So certainly confessionally, and we're getting to the point where we're going to deal with the confession specifically and what it says about the Sabbath day. But we want to say then that that morality in general is comprehended in the Ten Commandments. The fourth is part of that. And so it can't be pulled away. Seventhly, all of the Ten Commandments have the same connection to Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly obeyed how many of the commandments for our salvation? Perfectly obeyed them all. All ten. They were already put down in written form. Jesus perfectly obeyed them all as part of his mediatorial work. And because of that obedience to all of the commands, you can be saved. I can be saved. If Jesus obeyed all nine of the commands, but not the fourth, then our salvation would not be possible. And there's no evidence that the fourth commandment was ever excluded from Christ's obedience. I think that's so important for folks who want to pull away the fourth commandment. You're saved because Jesus obeyed the fourth commandment. It should be something that you treasure and love, and that you want to hold up as a something that you honor and respect, rather than something that you would do away with. We do want to say today with very great confidence that we are saved by works. And sometimes that might come as a surprise for a Reformed pastor to say such a thing. But we are not saved by our works. We are saved by Christ's work. And what was Christ's work? The perfect obedience of God's law. And four commandments included in that. So the salvation of all of God's people, in a certain sense, hinges upon the Ten Commandments, because Christ had to obey them in order to be the mediator. All of the commandments take on a new meaning with the Christian. They're all precious because they're part of our salvation, and we know that Jesus earned that salvation by obeying all of the commandments. So then every Sabbath day that we have in this life, we treasure because of Christ's work on our behalf and because He perfectly obeyed this day. I know when I go to sleep at night tonight that I did not keep the fourth commandment perfectly today. And you didn't either. None of us keep it perfectly. And that's the point. We treasure it. We honor it. We love it. We attempt to obey the command. But we will fail. Our hope is in the fact that Jesus did not fail. Your hope is not when you lay your head on the pillow tonight that you perfectly obeyed the fourth commandment. There is no hope in such a folly. That is vanity, because you will not. Your hope's in the fact that Jesus did obey. We would say then that that's the same for all of the commandments. Right? If we keep all of the other 9 commandments besides the 4th one today, we didn't keep those commandments perfectly. But what's our hope? That Jesus obeyed them all perfectly. And so you see, the 4th commandment then fits into that sort of paradigm of thinking that it isn't our labor or our efforts with the 10 commandments that's our hope. It's with what Christ has done. And you can't pull the 4th commandment away from that way of thinking through the commandments scripturally. We treasure all of the commandments because of what Christ has done. Now, we do want to acknowledge that we see the 10 commandments on a different side of Christ now. We have the New Testament to fully shed the light on those commandments. So we see those things a little differently now. But we also want to acknowledge, and we'll talk about this in greater detail later, that we do believe that the seventh day was changed to the first day as the day that we celebrate as the Christian Sabbath. There was a change. But we're talking about the change that many people want to promote is that the day is gone. That there's no such thing as the 4th commandment anymore. And there's certainly no grounds in the scriptures for such a change. But for you and I today, we do want to acknowledge that we see the law in a totally different way than perhaps someone in the Old Testament times would have. Now, I think that's one of the errors you see with the Pharisees. They believe that they were earning their salvation through the keeping of that law. But there are all kinds of references to grace and to what to Jesus Christ and His sacrifice all throughout the Old Testament. So it never was the intention of the Scriptures to teach that you're saved by your works. It was always pointing you to Christ. And we acknowledge that with our confession as well, that the way of salvation has always been the same. Okay, eighthly, all the 10 commandments have the same application to all men. They do. They don't just apply to any one person. And this is one of the complaints against the 4th commandment. People want to say it only applies to the Jewish people. Well, that's interesting because none of the other 9 commandments only applied to Jewish people. And we've read our passage today. We'll go back over very briefly in a minute. It even addresses people who are strangers. So it's certainly not written only to Jewish people. It applies to all men. And I believe also for all time. I think it's a wonderful quote here by Robert Dabney. He says in his Discussions in Volume 1, "There's another convincing proof that the Sabbath never was merely a Levitical institution, which is found in the fact that in the very law of the Decalogue, God commands its observance equally by Jews and Gentiles. The stranger in the 4th commandment was the foreigner residing in the land of Israel. To see the convincing force of this fact, the reader must contrast the jealous care with which the stranger, the pagan foreigner sojourning in Jewry, was excluded from all share in Levitical worship. No foreigner could partake of the Passover. It was sacrilege. It was at the peril of his life that he presumed to enter into the inner courtyard of the temple, where the bloody sacrifice was offered. Now, when this foreigner is required to keep the Sabbath along with the families of Israel, does not this prove that rest to be no ceremonial, no type like the Passover and the altar, but a universal moral institution designed for all nations and times?" Wonderful that that's actually in the words of the commandment, that it's for the stranger. Overturning all those arguments. Very perfectly logical application of the words in the 4th commandment applying to all men. Okay, ninthly, we've sort of touched on that. We believe they have the same permanence. All the 10 commandments have the same permanence, and the 4th commandment is included in that. The commandments were intended for all men and for all time. They're not limited to Israel. It would certainly be strange if the 4th commandment were no longer valid and the other 9 were. I think people don't realize how odd that would be if that were true. We certainly don't see that taught in the Scriptures. Dabney has another great statement here regarding the permanence here of the moral law, specifically of the Sabbath day. "When we are made to see that the sanctification of this day is the bulwark of practical religion in the world, that it goes hand in hand everywhere with piety and true knowledge of God, that where there is no Sabbath, there is at last no Christianity, It becomes incredible to us that God would make this institution temporary. The necessity for a Sabbath has not ceased. Therefore, the command has not been revoked. It is a perpetual moral command. And moral commands are as incapable of repeal as the nature of God itself, on which they are founded, is of change. Hence, we conclude that the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, stands just as binding upon us now as any other of the ten. The New Testament writers and our Lord Jesus always speak of the other nine commands and comment upon them as permanent and unalterable. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. The Sabbath command stands as one among the precepts of this permanent law, resting on grounds equally moral and universal. So a very good statement there by Dabney, and basically the point of what we're trying to do today, to show that they stand together in their lasting through all time for all men. And tenthly, it's just an observation on my part, that all the commandments of God are neglected by man. The fourth commandment falls into that same category of neglect and disobedience. It's just a practical observation. It's not as though the Sabbath is not under attack in our day. So just a practical observation that all the commandments of God are under attack. They're all neglected, and they're all not used in the way that God gave. The Sabbath then is one of the many ways that God's words are neglected in our day. In our world, particularly in our society here in America, the whole of God's moral law is neglected. It's not set up to be the standard as it ought. It's certainly not the standard of laws in our nation anymore. It's not the standard of individuals. It's not the standard of the church. The Sabbath is part of that neglect. So let's turn, and I think very briefly, I just wanted to cover some 10 principles that are within the fourth commandment. So we've seen 10 reasons why we can't pluck the fourth commandment out as though it doesn't, it's not valid anymore. Well, let's follow through the text of the fourth commandment. And I'm going to go through this very briefly because we're going to build on this when we get to the confession itself and we get to the applications of this command. But I wanted to briefly give you 10 particular points revealed in verses 8 through 11. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, so here's a quiz for you today. Here's a question for you. What is the fourth commandment? Is the fourth commandment verses 8 through 11, or is the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day? Now, I say that for a reason, because sometimes we equate the fourth commandment with a simple summary of remember the Sabbath day. And we'll say, oh, the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day. Well, I want to submit to you today that the fourth commandment is verses 8 through 11. Now, that comes as a pretty big surprise to a lot of folks. But I think we see 10 principles in these verses that if you just said, remember the Sabbath day, well, you're forgetting 9 of the principles. There are 10 principles in the commandment. And I think, interestingly, a couple of months back, I saw, it was like a shorthand version of the Ten Commandments that was like somewhere posted on a wall or something, where somebody basically tried to condense. And you've seen this before. You see it in courthouses where they'll say, remember the Sabbath. Well, it's very interesting. That's not the Fourth Commandment. That's a summary of the Fourth Commandment. The Fourth Commandment is verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. The summary that I saw here recently was someone had said, work 6, rest 1. Okay, that's true, right? We do work 6 and rest 1. But that's not the fourth commandment. That's a summary of the fourth commandment that might acknowledge one of these 10 principles, but it leaves out 9. Now, I want to encourage you to have your children memorize the entirety of the fourth commandment. It's very, very important. I think this is an interesting one. I also saw an abbreviated version of the fourth commandment that said, get yourself to Sunday meeting. And that's true. We do want to get ourselves a Sunday meeting, but that's not the fourth commandment. That's not even really a very good summary of the fourth commandment. And there's a certain truth revealed in those summaries, and I don't think people have bad intentions. But that's kind of what we're talking about today, is people remember that there might be one principle, but they're not going to see that there are ten. Well, what are the ten? What are the ten principles taught in the fourth commandment? First, we are to remember the day. We're to remember the day. How easy it is for us to forget the principle of remembering the Sabbath day. It seems as though it's easy to find examples of how the Sabbath day has been lost over time in history in certain civilizations. Remember, remember, remember the Sabbath day. That's one particular principle taught in the fourth commandment. Secondly, we're told to remember the whole day. It says remember the Sabbath day. It's not a remembering of a portion of the day or a few hours of the day. We're told to remember the whole day, not a few hours or a few minutes, but all of the day. And one of the first of the Sabbath principles that tends to fall away is the keeping of the entirety of the day. But that's taught in the fourth commandment, isn't it? So at least the summary that says remember the Sabbath day at least has two principles there that you're not forgetting. Let's talk about the other eight. Thirdly, we're told to keep the day holy. Remember the Sabbath, but you're also supposed to keep it holy. Isn't that interesting that the most popular summary of the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath, but it leaves out to keep it holy? That's interesting that the Sabbath has to decline in our culture. People don't keep it holy. The day is set apart. It's different. It's not a common day. It's not like the other days. There are specific duties given on this day that are not given on the other days of the week. It's inappropriate to treat the day as common or to do common things on the day that is set aside as holy. So that's three principles we've seen so far here in the fourth commandment itself. The fourth principle, we are given time constraints. We are given time constraints. 6 days of labor and 1 day of rest. That one summary, work six, rest one, at least it got this principle right, but it forgot the other ones. Well, this is very true. We are supposed to have 6 days of labor and 1 day of rest. Here's the division of our time. Here's the foundation of the limits that are put upon human labor. Here is the protection given to the day that belongs to God. That's the fourth principle in the fourth commandment. The fifth principle is we see God's command for labor. That's also left out of a summary of the fourth commandment. Here, we see, is the way that the fourth commandment applies to every day of the week. We're supposed to work 6 days of the week and have 1 day of rest. That's left out of a summary. The sixth principle of the fourth commandment is that we see God's ownership of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath of the Lord your God. It is His day. It belongs to Him. And I love the way that we tend, at least in Reform circles, to refer to the Sabbath day as the Lord's day. I love that. There's a whole sermon on that coming up. That God owns the day. And we tend to call today Sunday, right? I mean, that's just part of our vernacular. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do. I don't like that. I don't like calling the day Sunday. So whenever I think of the day, I've trained myself over time to call it the Lord's Day instead of calling it Sunday, because it helps me to remember that it's the Lord's Day. It's an ownership thing that's part of the fourth commandment, and we're seeing it as the sixth principle of the fourth commandment that is often forgotten, especially in the summary. The day doesn't belong to anybody. It just belongs to you if you want it. But that's not what the fourth commandment teaches us. It belongs to God. Saying the Lord's day perfectly illustrates God's ownership, who it belongs to. The seventh principle of the fourth commandment is that it tells us the people who are affected, the people who are to rest. Who rests in the context of the fourth commandment? Well, you, your children, your servants, your animals, and any strangers that are within your gates. So it's a pretty comprehensive covering of who is affected by the fourth commandment. Okay, so if we said then today that the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day, period, we leave out this seventh principle of who it affects. And what's the problem today with remembering the Sabbath? People don't know who it applies to anymore. People have lost who owns it. People have lost who it applies to. People have lost that it's holy. Well, one of the reasons that's true is because we've fallen back to the summary of the fourth commandment instead of the entirety of the fourth commandment. So the seventh principle defines who is affected. The eighth principle of the fourth commandment tells us the origin of the day. It comes from the creation account. That's again something that people have forgotten today, that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance. And if we only say, remember the Sabbath, well then we forget the fact that it's rooted and grounded in the creation itself. That is the eighth principle of the fourth commandment. The ninth principle of the fourth commandment is that it's patterned after God's own resting. It's patterned after God's own resting. So again, the summary leaves that out. And if we come to not see the Sabbath as being important anymore, well, the fact that God patterned it for us gives us even more of a motivation and a requirement for obeying the commandment. It's interesting, we don't see that type of qualification with the other commandments. It's given for the fourth. Number 10. The tenth principle of the fourth commandment is that the day is blessed by God. Remember, we started our series with that. That the day is blessed. Well, folks today who might can tell you that the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day, I wonder if one of the reasons why they don't want to keep the Sabbath is maybe they don't realize it's a blessing anymore. But the fourth commandment, the entirety of the passage in Exodus chapter 20, tells us that the day is blessed. Why would we want to forget that? Why would we want to leave that out, that the day is blessed? There are 10 principles here that are within this fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. And so if we want to say, well, work six, rest one, well, that omits the fact that the Sabbath is to be remembered and kept holy. Work six, rest one omits the fact that the Sabbath belongs to God. Work six, rest one omits who is to obey the Sabbath, that is to be obeyed by everyone, even strangers in the gate. Work six, rest one omits references to creation. It omits the references to God patterning the day by His own rest. And it also omits the fact that the day is blessed. So maybe the shorthand thing is good for us to remember which commandment is which. But don't think of remember the Sabbath day, period, as the fourth commandment. Because it's just not. There are 10 principles of the fourth commandment. As we close, I do want to say that in our day, there is a particularly gross misunderstanding of the Sabbath day and its importance in the Christian life. Well, the same could be said for all of the 10 commandments. Definitely so. But let's notice today that in any abbreviated version of the fourth commandment is just simply not God's word. I don't believe God intended us to take the first words and leave the rest out. It's a convenient alteration that can often mislead, and I don't think it's a very good idea. So we want to keep the whole of the commandment together. We do want to say today that there's some good memory things that you can try to keep the Ten Commandments in your mind with, but we should do a better job of rehearsing through the entirety of the Ten Commandments, and I think that's very helpful for us in our family worship time as well. So the short text that we've had before us today is composed of verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, but those four verses reveal many important elements of the Sabbath day itself. We've seen then that we can't pull that commandment out because of the 10 things that all 10 commandments share in common. And we've also seen that there are 10 principles within the fourth commandment itself. And I do want to encourage you to remember these 10 principles throughout the week and maybe quiz our children on the 10 things that are taught in the fourth commandment. It's definitely to our shame that the church in our age doesn't remember the Sabbath day or keep it holy. And I think these principles today are very helpful for us to remember. There are 10 principles in the fourth commandment. There's not one or two or three or five. The commandment teaches us these many things about the character of the God that we worship and how He wants us to live and to obey Him in the world in which we live. So may we ever dedicate ourselves to honoring and protecting the holy day of our God as revealed in the fourth commandment. And so I would like to close by reading that fourth commandment once more. We look at our text, verses 8 through 11. The fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Stand with me, please, as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would grant that we might love and cherish the day that you love and cherish. That we stand and fight to protect your commandments here on earth. May you grant the church the strength to defend and honor the Sabbath day. We pray these things in the name of the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. Amen.